Ray Galloway is a construction manager and consultant, commercial and residential builder, and a certified inspector for all commercial and residential buildings. And now, here is About the House with Troy Galloway.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to About the House. This is your audio university on everything you could ever possibly ever want to know about your house. We go through things from real estate to roofs to engineered lumber. Any tiny little thing that's possibly about your home, we talk about it. And we know what's so awesome about this show is that you can always go back and listen to it over and over again, because we're on podcast and we're on YouTube TV, and we're also on all the social media sites, so you can listen to us over and over again. And we just got tons of information that will definitely help you. And I'm really excited because actually our audience is growing more and more, and when we're getting more people from out of state that's joining us in, so I'm really excited about that. And hey, I'm Troy Galloway. I am your humble host, owner of Galloway Building Services. Just like this show, we're a one-of-a-kind inspection company. Yes, we do building and commercial inspections. If you're buying or selling either a business or an office or your brand-new home that you're wanting to, we inspect that. But what makes us unique is that we do construction inspections. And we also do personal injury inspections. So if you get hurt somewhere and somebody has, maybe they didn't do right and they left a trip hazard and you got hurt, we take care of that kind of inspections. Or if you got a construction project out there and you want to make sure that it's being done right, we do tons of these, especially with everybody out there now that's so busy. We do a lot of this kind of construction inspections. And what I really enjoy about it is that we also not just help people that are having the work done, but we also help contractors. You know, we all have that one neighbor that comes over there that knows everything except for what he's talking about. And they say, well, I would have done it this way. Well, I would have done it that way. When really the truth of the matter is they probably don't have a clue what they're talking about. And you, as a contractor, you're trying to get paid because you know it's done right, but you can't hire. Who do you hire to come in there to put these folks, rest them assured, put their hearts at peace? You give us a call, Galloway Building Services. I'm going to give you the office number now, and I'll give it to you at the end of the show also. But the office number is 636-394-3112. And I got a great show today, and we got a return guest, Ramona Galloway with J&H Properties, real estate agent and brokerage. She has her own brokerage company. What's the difference between a broker and a real estate agent? Well, they're both real estate agents, but a broker is somebody that actually has advanced further than just being an agent. Somebody that actually is now passed all their tests and licensed to actually hire real estate agents. So you couldn't really get any further up at the top of the food chain than this. And Ramona is here with me talking about this super hot market, and things are just going crazy out there right now. And with that being, you know, we're trying to make some heads or tails out of it, if any of this makes sense. So I want to introduce Ramona. Ramona, jump in here. Tell them how long you've been in business. I know some of the folks, you haven't been on here for a couple of years now. So talk about how long you've been in business, and share with them why you even got in business. Okay, I see her roll her eyes. You know what that means? She's been in business for so many years, she can't actually remember. You know, she doesn't remember how many years she's probably been in business for so long, and she doesn't remember her wedding anniversary because she's been married so long. Okay, my darling bride, jump in here.
You're right. I've been in the real estate business for many, many years. It's been like 33 years, I do believe. And I've started out, of course, being an agent, and then I became a broker just a few years after that. So I've been in this business, like I said, many, many years, and I love what I do. I love helping people, and the real estate market is on fire right now. So it's a wonderful time, especially if you're a seller. So if you're ready to list those houses, give me a call, because actually we can get it done for you.
Well, what's your phone number?
Oh, 314-602-4835. Please give me a call anytime.
Hey, we'll get you that phone number, folks, at the end of the show, too. So you'll be able, I know that's kind of was fast. And But we wanted to get the phone number out here and start visiting here. So tell us what's happening out there. Tell us why it's so crazy. What's going on? And give us some feet. Give us some information so we can be better informed when we're buying or selling our homes.
Well, right now it is a seller's market, and COVID does have a little bit to do with that, just because of the fact that it made people stay home. And when it made people stay home, people realized that, you know, they can't go to the office to work, and they don't have room in their homes to have offices, so they need bigger homes. Children are staying home. They can't go to school. So, again, that's the need, again, for the bigger homes. They need room for their children to play during the day. They need offices for the husband and the wife. There's just not enough room in those smaller homes. So people are also escaping from the cities. They're going out into the countries more where they can actually get a bigger home, have a little bit more room outside for the children to play. And they just love that fresh air, and the activity of being outside becomes a little bit more popular with them.
I bet, and it's also a heck of a lot safer out there in our little communities, and the schools are great, and I see a lot of businesses going out there. As in the commercial inspections, we're starting to see more and more industry headed out there. I guess the industry's headed out there, so the real estate market, I guess people are moving out there too.
It is. It's really expanded. So, you know, people are trying to get away from the cities and into the country. Now, we're not talking being isolated, you know, out in cave country, but we are talking about, you know, the little towns, they are growing. And with commercial too as well, but they're really growing with the homes. And if you look at the market the way it is right now, there's actually a shortage of listings out there. And that's why it's a seller's market, because people are looking, and it's just a shortage of homes. New homes are exploding, but they can't get materials right now, so that's kind of puts them in a quandary as well.
Well, now that being said, we've talked about that on the show about the new homes, but how come? I mean, is everything blowing up that fast out there that they're, what's it, call them used homes? Secondary market? Is it? I mean, why is there such a shortage happening out there? I mean, is there more people, is it they're just moving out of town and leaving them behind, or what's happening with that?
Well, I think they're wanting, like I said, bigger homes, just because that's the need right now, because they're having to stay home and do their work. Children are home, so they need bigger homes to expand and be more comfortable in. A lot of times people, you know, before this pandemic hit, they didn't have offices in their homes. So now that's a huge, huge need, whether it's an extra bedroom or they finished their lower level or, you know, whatever the case may be. But they don't have to pay the higher rent cost either and mortgage cost in cities where they can move out. And normally when you move out away from the city, all your expenses are a little bit cheaper. So people are beginning to realize that, and it's really making the market grow exponentially. But that being said, there's not many people that are, you know, selling their homes right now. A lot of people are hanging on to them, maybe keeping them for rentals, so never knowing what's going to happen in the future. So people are renting them out, which there again makes the rental prices, you know, go up too as well. So for investors, it's a great market for that too as well.
Well, now, what's happening with the market out there as far as interest rates and stuff? Am I getting ahead of myself with asking you that?
Not really, because interest rates right now are low. And that is, again, another reason for people wanting to, you know, purchase homes. So there's different avenues, and the prices or the lending interest rates are starting to nudge up just a little bit. Not too much yet, and I don't think that they will for the rest of this year. Maybe a little bit. They're going just a little bit over the 3%, up to maybe 3.5%. So, but I know there's lenders out there too that are trying to keep their rates down, and they're doing that too by saying that you can pay more money down. You can also buy your points down. So
explain that. Buy your points.
That's a little
down.
Bit different animal out there. There's different types of loans out there, but say if you got a regular conventional loan and say your rate was at 3%, if you pay 1% of your loan amount, so for example, if your loan was going to be $100,000, it would be an extra $1,000 which is tax deductible. So you would pay that to the lender, and they would lower your loan, usually in the range of about 0.25%. So instead of 3%, you're going to get the loan at 2.75%. And there again, different lenders, you know, different qualifications and different requirements, but you can sometimes pay 2 to 3 points and even get that down a little bit lower than that. But again, it depends on the lender and what they offer. They're all different.
Now, do you help direct people over to different lenders that fits their needs, or do you have a list of different people that you work with?
Oh, absolutely. I work with several different lenders. There's FHA loans, there's VA loans, there's USDA loans, conventional loans. There's all types of loans out there. And some of the loans that I just mentioned, you can actually purchase the home with no money down. The VA loans, if you're a veteran, you can purchase a home with no money down. FHA loans, they do require that you do put upfront payments of PMI, and that's normally 1.75%, and then every month you're going to pay on that too. So that's a little bit pricier loan, but you can get in normally at, if you have a lower credit score, you can normally get in with that, and it's 3.5% down. But like I said, the VA loan is 0% down. If you've been a veteran, they've got great programs, and the seller does pay some of your closing costs as well with a VA loan. And then another loan, which really helps people that are moving away from the inner cities, is what they call a USDA loan. So, like if you're in, I know parts of Lincoln County are like that, Jefferson County are like that. If you're out more in the country, then you can get these loans that are no money down. And they're called a USDA loan. And they're really great loans. Some of those loans, now you do have to look at your interest rates, because they can have a little bit higher of a rate with those. Because like the USDA loan, they are great, no money down, but you're going to pay a little bit higher because you are getting that fact with no money down. But you get in the home, a year later, you can always go back and refi with another lender if that's what you want to do to get that rate down. So there's so many different ways and angles that you can go and make that happen for you.
Now, you mentioned earlier about P&I. I know some folks know what that means. I know, you know, you've been around for so many years, that's just normal language.
I know, right?
Help folks out there that maybe don't understand what that means, P&I, and the advantages and disadvantages of what that means.
Well, that's what they call private mortgage insurance. And what it does, it guarantees that if for some reason you don't pay that loan, if you have difficulty paying it, and you end up losing the home, going into foreclosure, then the government will pay that lender back. So, you know, when we had all those problems back in the early 2000s, well, 2008, in that era, then that's when this came about. And it really does help the lenders, but, you know, it adds on to your mortgage. And it's not anything that you can write off. It's kind of a lost payment in one respect, that you can't write it off on your taxes, but it does help you get into that loan. And once you get that 20% down on that house, say if it was a $100,000 loan, and if you get it down in the 80% range or $80,000 range, which is 80%, then you can have that PMI taken off of there. So you don't have to pay that anymore. But you have to go to your lender and you have to ask for that. But it's still another great avenue, another great way to buy your home.
Okay, I appreciate that, because I know a lot of the folks out there might not know what that means out there. So now FHA, VA, USDA loans, is there like any kind of special qualifications that anybody needs for them, or is that open to anybody, or is that just first-time home buyers, or what's going on with them now?
Well, VA, obviously, you have to be a veteran. But the other ones, no, there's not any requirements necessarily. FHA is a 3.5% down payment with those. You can also go with a conventional loan. And right now, lenders have conventional loans. Some of those are offering with 3% down. And they used to have a higher rate. Now their rates are great. It just depends on your lender. So check around. You always have a window. of about 2 weeks that you can check with lenders. And when you go in and they check your credit, when you first get a loan, they're going to check your credit. Every lender does that. But when they do that the very first time, it's what they call a hit on your credit. So it may take a few points off of your credit score. However, you need to shop those rates to go to other lenders and see what they offer as well. And when you do that, if you do it within a specified amount of time, then you don't get any more, I'll call it dings, on your credit report. So if your score is like 750, you have one time hit, so you're fine. You should be good to go. But now if you go outside of that window, say if you wait a month and then you go to check, you're going to get another ding on that credit. And you don't want to do that because the lower your credit goes, then the higher they can charge you for an interest rate. So that's all tied together.
So dings equal lower, what do you call it, your credit rating, lowers your credit rating.
Yes,
absolutely. Every ding lowers your credit rating.
Absolutely. It's like when you want to get a credit card. So when you apply for that card, they're going to check your credit. And when you do, you're going to get a code ding on your credit. It's going to come down because of that. So you just have to be careful. But if you're really close on your credit, it's a big deal. If you have a, say, 850 credit score, it's not really a big deal at all. But just have to be aware of that.
Oh, now, you had been FHA and VA had, from an inspector's point of view, they used to be able to, used to be the buyers had to pay for, or the sellers, I'm sorry, had to pay for the termite inspection.
Yes.
What's happening with that now? Is it that changed any?
No, it's not changed. They still pay for the termite inspection.
Now, with the new government administration, is there anything that we should be looking for? Or have they got to that point yet where they're talking about any kind of changes or anything? I know that they're talking about really hurting us with capital gains tax, but besides capital gains, is there anything that we should be looking at for as consumers for buying and selling, our investors? We got a lot of investors that actually listen to this show, and of course this means big to them, capital gains. But what is there anything else that, or are they just still not got to that point yet because it's so new?
I don't think they have gotten a whole lot done with that yet, but I am sure there is more to come. But that being said, real estate is still a really good investment. You can still write off your mortgage interest. You can write off your taxes and your insurance and all of your expenses. So right now, there's still a really good investments with real estate. But now there's also grants out there. There's grants for first-time home buyers. There's also still grants out there for even people that have owned homes in the past. So check with your lenders, because different lenders will offer different grants. So say a first-time home buyer, sometimes they can go in and get a grant anywhere from $3,000 to $10,000. It all depends. There's all different types of requirements that you need for these things, but they're not as difficult to get as you would think. So they're a great avenue, especially for new first-time home buyers, to get into a property. You can get a grant for, say, $3,000 to $5,000. You live in the home 3 to 5 years. It's completely written off. You don't have to pay it back. It's like free money. It's great. It really helps people that are in need to get into these homes and to be home buyers, like the American dream.
I love free money.
Yeah.
but it sounds like it's free, but you got to follow the rules and regulations.
You do. You have to meet the requirements. And on most of them, you have to go through classes. You do it like an online class that teaches you all about home ownership. And if you've never owned a home, there's a lot of things that can pop up, and they do. And we're just unaware that it's even possible. So these classes are really full of great information for anyone, actually. But especially if you've never owned a home, it gives you a lot of ideas on what can happen. And just, so you can plan ahead.
So this, anything else on the market that you want to share with us? Because I've got a list of some questions that some of our, some folks knew that you was coming on the show, and so that I've gotten some questions that given to me. But is there what else about the market should we be aware of? Do you have anything you want to add to that before I switch us gears?
Well, if you're looking for a home, you know, just you have to be careful on what you're looking at and the price that you're paying. Make sure that you know what those prices are in that neighborhood and don't overpay. There is, right now, when you put a house on the market, I just had one a couple weeks ago. It was over in O'Fallon. Nice home, needed a little bit of work to it, but not a whole lot. We had 4 contracts the first day and people paying way over the asking price. And the contract that we ended up taking, it was over the asking price and it appraised out. Which says, you know, of course, the value of these homes are coming up, but we just don't want to overpay to the point that, you know, later on when that market adjusts and if it goes lower, then you will not have overpaid for your home, because that can be important when you go to sell. You may be over, you know, what the houses are selling for when you're ready to sell. So you have to be careful about that.
So now you said about over. That's one of the questions actually was given to, that was sent to us, and that is, it's crazy out there. My real estate agent told me that I needed to. They was asking X amount of dollars, and my real estate agent. This is what somebody's right wrote me, is that my real estate agent said that I should send in a, what do you call it, a contract, a bid or something for it, for more than asking price. Is this really getting to be the normal now, or I mean, is
Yes, I hate to say that, but I mean, when a realtor puts a home on the market, you know, if they're, you know, if they know what they're doing, of course they're going to run, you know, all the history in that neighborhood, see what homes are selling for, what they've been selling for in the past, what they're selling for now, and they give you a really good recommendation what they think that you should put the house on the market. However, the need for homes, used homes, new homes too, but used homes, you know, is so high right now that people are kind of desperate. You know, they're like, I really want this home. I love this house and I'm willing to pay more than they're asking. Well, if you can do that, that's wonderful, but you have to be careful because of the fact that, you know, that has to appraise out. And say if it's a $500,000 home and you go in and you offer $525,000, but it doesn't appraise out and only appraises out at the $500,000, you as a buyer will have to come up with the extra difference in that amount, so $25,000, unless that the seller is willing to, you know, help with that. And a lot of times in this market, they're not, because they don't think that they need to, that they have to. So that being said, that's when the new buyer has to say, okay, well, I'm willing to pay an extra $25,000 up front, which means it comes out of your pocket, because the lender, if a house is not appraised for $525,000, they're not going to lend you that much money on that property. You have to come up with the extra $25,000 out of your own pocket.
Well, that's not so good.
It can be a problem.
Yeah. Well, and so appraisers. I know we're not talking about appraisers. Actually, I need to make a radio show. That's a good idea. I need to get do one of our shows and bring an appraiser in.
That'd be a great
and
idea.
Talk about that, because we've had real estate, we've had you, we've had mortgage brokers with Rachel
Rifkar?
Yeah, of Central Bank. Great, great person there.
She's awesome.
And that's a good idea. I have to make a note of that. But help me out here. So appraisals. Yeah, it seems like sometimes the appraisers are all over the board, and you just never know when you write a contract, especially when you're writing over it. Is there the last word on how much a house is worth, or is it the bank, or is it the seller that's the last word about what your house is worth?
Well, as far as the bank's concerned, it's normally the appraiser that's been hired to do the appraisal on that property. But now I've had instances in the past, and they have an appraisal, so they say, it's only a matter of opinion. Not that they just have an opinion on it. They actually pull factual information. But sometimes they don't have all of that information. And I say that because I'll give you one really good example that I had. A few years ago, I had a property that it was We had tried to sell it, didn't sell. The market wasn't right for that area at that time. It was a little bit more than what the area was really getting at the time. So a couple years later, we went back, put it on the market, and before we were even open for showings, I had a person come in, made an offer above asking price, and this was a couple of years ago, so it was before the frenzy market that we have today. And they offered above, and they had an appraisal. The appraisal came in really low. I was a listing agent, not the buyer's agent, so I did not understand that it came in low until I got a phone call of them wanting to do another appraisal, which told me there was a problem with the first one. I just didn't know at that time how big of a problem it really was. So I was fortunate enough that I was able to talk to the appraiser and let him know everything, all the particulars about this wonderful piece of property. It was Clayton Schools, which was a huge, huge factor that the first appraiser missed.
Ooh, that is big.
Oh, it was
school systems. I want to talk about that one before we get out of here. Yes. School systems too, how that affects the values.
But oh, absolutely.
Please forgive me, I interrupted.
Oh no, that's fine. But this particular property here, there was more things to it than that. But the schools were, the district was the main issue with this whole property. And believe it or not, that first appraisal was $85,000 less than the second appraisal that we got. It was huge. Because they didn't have all the particular facts. And that doesn't happen very often. It truly does not. But I was knowledgeable enough that I was able to go back in there and discover this is why it didn't come in. I was able to talk to the appraiser, and we had no problem. So it appraised out just fine, and all was good. Now, in this market today, most of the homes, not all, are coming in okay. They're coming pretty much right at the sales price. Now, there is a few, there have been a few in the past that have come back that have been lower than the asking price. I've heard other realtors say the same thing, and that can be, like I said, a big problem. And sometimes it just results in that sale not happening. So, I mean, you can always get another appraisal, get a second opinion, and that could change. But sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Just depends on how much they're willing to spend. Because at that point, when they get to the appraisal, that means that they've done all their inspections, like what you do. They've done all those inspections, and everybody has agreed. Either they fix things, they don't, and they move on from there. But that would be your appraisal, would be your next step.
Yeah, because by that time, they've already spent, you know, your buyers have already spent a lot of money, haven't
they? That's right. And that's why when they get to that point, they really hate to back out, you know, because they've spent a lot. And once they, you know, do the appraisal, that's even more money. So it adds up, and it all adds up fast. But that being said, you get your new home and you're happy campers.
Yeah. Well, now, you mentioned the Clayton school system, and of course, this show goes all over the country. So then a lot of folks don't know really what you meant by this Clayton school system, but you and I know that that's an upper end, well, very upper end area of town. But talked about how school systems, because we all hate these dadgum taxes,
yes,
but our taxes also affect, you know, our school systems because of the better quality, sadly, you know, that
they
does
sure
affect
do.
It. But talk to folks about school systems, values, how this affects, you know, even if you're across the street, you know, from one school system to another, how it can affect the pricing.
It can make a big, big difference. Your school systems, you know, the higher they're rated, normally in that area, you pay a little bit higher taxes. And you do because of the schools. That's one of the biggest things on your real estate tax. If you ever look at one of those forms, they will list the things that you're actually paying taxes for. And one of the highest things on there on everybody's taxes is your school systems, districts, because of the fact that, you know, they put more money into their schools, so therefore, you know, their schools on the whole are better. So that's where you want your kids to go to school. You know, you get that rating, you know, and they're all, you know, A's up there, you'll love it. And your kids seem to learn more. Now, that's only public schools. That doesn't include, like, you know, that doesn't include your other schools.
Private schools.
Your private schools, yes. So that's just your public schools. But it makes a huge, huge difference. And like I was saying, Clayton schools, and there's a few others, of course, you're paying higher taxes in those areas, but you have wonderful schools.
What also affects, so the school systems affect the value of your property. What other types of things could affect, lower or raise your systems? I mean, does like, I mean, like fire districts or police departments or any of this?
Sure, that all adds up. And it's all on your tax form when you get it. Take a look at that, and there's several things on there. There's 10 to 15 items on every tax form for your real estate and what you're paying for.
Because it seems to me that if I'm living in a safe area, you know, where I got a safe area, not we know police, okay, that's common sense, but I'm talking about like fire districts, you know.
Sure.
If I live in a rural, because we talked about people moving out to the rural areas, and they don't really have the same fire districts that we do in the our urban areas. Does that have much effect, do you think?
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, you can go to places like, say, Lincoln County, for instance, and some of those places, if you have smaller towns, say Winfield, Ellsbury area, those have, they're smaller towns, so they have what they call volunteer fire departments. So, you know, they don't charge the amount that they normally do on taxes, you know, for those districts, because they don't have the equipment that, say, St. Louis County, you know, a fire district, you know, in that area, Chesterfield or something like that. They don't need that kind of expense. So you save it on your taxes. But you also don't have that coverage that you do. You know, if your house catches on fire, you know, you hope they get there in time. So.
Oh, and I say God bless, and I really appreciate the volunteer fire departments.
Oh, absolutely.
And I really don't want to say anything, you know, against them. But I will say, folks, to give you my own personal experience, I did have a house burned down. As the house was burning down, the fire department was in town buying water. As my house was burning. Whereas in town where I got fire hydrants, they just hook right into it. And I don't know if they would have saved my house or not, but I'm thinking as I'm watching it burning down, well, what do you mean buying water? Don't you bring enough out there? Well, you know, it's because they are limited resources for the poor fire department. And I know they really do great work, and I appreciate them. And they're doing it. Heck, they're doing it for no money. I mean, they're doing it for free, except for the taxes of paying for the equipment. In our little towns, does it make a difference for like shopping centers and malls and hospitals? Does this have, what kind of effect do you think that has on our values of our homes?
Well, it all has an effect on it, because I mean, like you, if you're in an area that your commercial is drying up, people are, you know, packing up, moving out, and there's a whole lot of vacancies there. You know, that really does hurt a community. It really does. Now, does it affect your taxes right away? I don't think it does, you know, right away. But eventually it will, because if nobody comes in and takes over those businesses and, you know, and commercial doesn't expand, then you're going to be stagnant on your prices, I think. So, you know, and it could even go down. You know, I mean, if you have a lot of commercial buildings, people are moving out of town in that regard, then, yeah, your market's going to dry up and your prices are going to go down. And you can only hope that it comes back. Depends on, you know, why are they drying up? You know, is there, you know, have they found like dioxin in the area or something like that?
Dioxin being a hazardous waste.
Correct. And something really bad to make people move out, and you cannot be corrected, not easily, I should say. So, you know, is that a reason? If that is, then they may not come back. And if they don't, then there goes your market. So, and if it's something, you know, just a temporary thing like this COVID, then it very well might come back.
Well, now, just put yourself into, think of this for a minute here. I'm wanting to sell my house, and I really want to get the best dollar naturally. I want to get all the money I can. So tell us some tips out there on what can we do to make our house maybe worth more. Selling fast doesn't seem to be a problem today,
not today,
but it might be tomorrow. So tell us some tips from a real estate broker's point of view, on how I can do get a better, because I'm going to ask you just the opposite in a minute about the buyer side, but tips on how we can actually make our house worth more money. Guide the folks through this.
Well, you know, even though the market is what it is right now, it's a seller's market, it doesn't mean that as a seller that you can just put a, you know, sign out and say, okay, I'm for sale. You have to be ready. You have to declutter. You have to clean it up. Some people, you know, put the sign in the yard and say, okay, let's just sell. Just the way it is. Do nothing. Yeah, you really don't want to do that. Even to get top dollar today, you need to do your due diligence. You need to clean up the property. You need to paint, fix the things that need to be repaired. If nothing else, you know, hire an inspector even before you put the house on the market. That way you know what's wrong with it right up front. So you have the option knowing what's wrong. You can either, you know, put it on the market. You can put it as an as-is property, which means that, you know, if there's anything wrong, you're not going to fix it. Or you can go in there and take that inspection report and look at the things that really need to be done, pick and choose what you want to do or not do, or do everything on there. And then that way, you know, you're not going to have a problem when you go to sell. Everything's done. It's ready to go. The house has been painted. It's all fresh and ready to go. And so is your new buyer.
Yeah. So that's now. What about staging? You know, does that really help the adding value to the home? Because I know staging. Well, first tell the folks what staging means, but then help us out. Does it sell better? Does it bring more money? Is it worth the investment?
Well, it depends on the situation. Now, if you are living in a home, then you can do a couple of different things. You can declutter and just leave, you know, if you have nice furniture, just leave a few items in there to kind of stage that home yourself. What you're doing is you're making people come in and you're making them realize, okay, I can put a couch here and a love seat here, and this is how this room is going to work. This is how we're going to live in this house. And the same thing with bedrooms and all the rooms in the home. But now if it's vacant, you've moved out, when you hire a stager, you don't normally fill every room with furniture. You may put a few items in like the living room, maybe the dining room, in one of the bedrooms, maybe the master. It depends on the property. But yes, it does, because it allows people to see how they would live in the home if it was theirs. You know, would they put furniture there? Would they move it this way? Is there opportunities to live in it differently than the people are currently? It just gives you a whole different outlook on that property.
So now that's staging, and this is kind of like staging, but it's permanent. Kitchens and baths, in both of them in particular. Should I go out and spend a bunch of money, have my kitchen redone before I actually sell the house? Do I get my money's worth, or is that something that we should do, or should we just kind of clean up what we have in our kitchen? What your opinion?
Well, again, I think it depends on the property. Now, if that property is really needing the kitchen and you have the funds to do it, it really makes a huge difference, because most of the time, people don't want to move into a property and then have to do all this work to it. You know, they don't have time. They don't want to live in that, because it can be difficult to live like that. And especially if you have little ones, or now, like nowadays, you work from home. You know, you may not have the room to, you know, to do all that while you're trying to, you know, get your kitchen done, or even a bathroom. If you have a couple of bathrooms in your new home, say even three, then yeah, you can probably do a rehab on a bathroom while you're still living there. But a lot of times, if you can get that work done, it is going to pay you to do it, because people are going to like that home more, and you're going to get more offers, and they're going to sell it faster. So if there's any way you can do that, that's wonderful. Now, I know right now the construction industry has slowed down a bit, just because of the lack of materials and the high pricing on that. But it can definitely, you know, be a return on your money to do that.
You know, when I do an inspection after I get done with my home inspections, when I send them the report, I like to send them a video that we've done in regards to what to expect from your home inspection after it's done. And I got a great video on that. I'd love to share. Our producer, Joey, has done a fabulous job of putting it together. I love throwing in a good plug for Joey because he does takes great care of us. But yes, with that, but we talk about clutter. And I what I tell folks is, and I like to get some of your feedback as a real estate agent, is this something you folks look at? But underneath my kitchen counters or my cabinets, and they got all that stuff underneath there. And I almost slipped on that word, didn't I? And but when they pull it out, they have a tendency to bump and knock things loose. Or it's kind of like at my house, my wife has so much stuff underneath the kitchen sink that sometimes she knocks things loose and then I get to fix it. I don't know why she would do that, Ramona. Ramona's my wife, by the way, so that's what this is. That's an
insight. No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, but do you guys run water or anything? Talk to us about your final walkthrough, things that you're doing, because this is something I tell folks to look for. When we buy the house, we're wrapping it up, and we got all... By golly, we got everything done and we're getting ready to close, but we got our final walkthrough. What are we looking for on our final walkthrough? And can it kill the deal?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You normally do your final walkthrough anywhere from 1 to 3 days or 4 days before closing. And I always suggest you do it at least 3 days, if possible, before closing. And I do, because you're going to look at the house, you want to make sure that it is like it was when you first put the contract in. And then all these things came up on your inspection report, and you all agreed to have these things, you know, repaired or not. You need to go in and verify, yes, they have been repaired as you expected. And if there's anything there that wasn't there before, anything that's been removed as you remember it to be, when you purchased the home, well, you put your contract in, that's the time to talk about all that. And you want to make sure, because, I mean, once you've closed, and it's really hard to go back. Say if someone was supposed to fix, say a bathroom faucet, and you didn't check that out when you went through, you know, on your, inspection, it got called on your inspection. They were supposed to fix it. When you did your walkthrough, you were supposed to verify it had been fixed. You forgot to do that. Well, if they didn't fix it, you closed and it's still leaking afterwards. I mean, you can go back and try to make a stink about it, but the majority of the time, nothing's ever done because you had your opportunity and you missed it. So those are things that you just need to check and make sure that they've been done.
That's where you get a good agent, folks, that actually has been through the trials and errors and have already experienced these things. They'll take care of that for you. They'll be heads up on it. But now, I had a question here that was written to me before you came on to here, and it was, I closed on my property, and my agent would not give me my key.
Oh, my
How
goodness.
Come?
I would assume that it has just closed, and the buyer's loan had not funded. And that means that everything has to be done and their lender has to actually send the money to that title company for them to fund that loan. If that loan is not funded, you don't get keys. I don't care if you've closed and it's a week later. Until that loan is funded, you're not getting keys. Because if that agent gives you those keys before that's funded, y'all can get in a whole bunch of trouble.
I know one time
it's illegal.
We had a home that we built, a brand new home, because, as you know, we have a home building company. And I remember that the buyers was having a tantrum. They had a truck standing there and a trailer and ready to move in. But we couldn't give them the key because it wasn't funded. We had not received our money. And it's huge. It's like impossible to get these folks out
once
they move in. And so we're hearing more and more about that's another thing too. And I know we really don't have a lot of time to get into that, but I would love to have you come back because there's other things we need to talk about, like some of the cons that we're getting of allowing somebody into your home before you closed or your proper paperwork and some of the shenanigans going on out there.
Other things you have to be really careful. You never, never, never want somebody to let them in your home like that before it's actually closed.
And folks, this is why you need a real estate agent. I know a lot of you want to sell by owner, and I think that's awesome, sell by owner, and I don't blame you one bit. But these are the pitfalls. If you're a seller and you're just trying to be nice and you let somebody in and it's not all done right, you could be opening yourself up. I mean, remember, well, I can't mention his name here, but a friend of ours, and he had somebody move into his house. It was over a year later before he could actually get them out of the house. And that was before the COVID. You know, get the COVID, you probably could never get them out. And by the time he got in back his house back, it was just, and it was for sale by owner that he was selling. And his family had been in construction and everything for years. By the time he got the house back, there really wasn't. He had to go let it go into foreclosure. They didn't pay for years of payments, and then they tore it up.
There could be a lot of sad stories out there. I had a client, and it's been several years ago, that didn't want to do a walkthrough. The house he was purchasing was going into foreclosure. The lady that had it had two other children, and she was very pregnant at the time. The
house, how do you be very pregnant? What's that? Come on. I know that's not real estate talk, but what's very pregnant
mean? He's
like
8 months ready to go.
Okay.
But in this particular case, she wasn't able or wasn't doing anything to the property as far as even packing up and getting things ready. And he did not want to do a walkthrough. Well, you know, as his agent, I insisted on it. Either he would go or I'd go by myself, because I had to make sure that it was done. And it was a really good thing that we did, because it was not done. Nothing had been moved out of that property. Nothing at all. So in saying that, we did not close that day. I did go back and I got an organization that would go in the following day, next 2 days actually, to help her move out. And they promised they would. But I did suggest to my buyer that he did not close until that happened. But it all worked out. He went ahead and closed. And actually, he bought myself and his wife some roses because we stuck it out. And that was very sweet of him. But they did. The organization came in over the weekend, moved him out, and everything happened just fine. But it was a good possibility that would not have happened. If we had not have checked and we not had done these things before closing, it could have been a different situation altogether. He could have been in that house and paying mortgage payments like the situation Troy was just talking about. He could have been in there for months and not gotten to his property, but still had to make the payments. And her being pregnant with the other children, it could have been a real disaster for everyone. So, that's how important those final walkthroughs are. Don't ever skip those.
Now you said you went in there and checked it out. Does that help, say, if you're working with an out-of-state and buyer and they're moving in, being relocated, they just literally can't, and so you're willing to go in there and do a walkthrough, make sure that the house is in good working order?
Oh, absolutely. A few months ago, I had an out-of-state investor who wanted to buy a duplex, and I just took my camera, went in there, and did a video for her so that she could see everything with this property inside and out, and make sure that yes, it's the property that she wanted. The first one she decided was not the one for her. It didn't need a whole lot of work. But again, went to the second one, did the same thing, had it all worked out. She saw the property, and then she was actually able to come into town before we closed, and she was a happy investor.
Yeah, I remember that. She was really a sweet person.
She was,
you know. But, in that first house, wow, you know, that's why, I mean, I'm now throwing a cheap plug for inspectors, but that's why you want a good inspector to look at your home. And then, sadly, there's a lot of inspectors that are $350 wonders, you know, they take $350, they're a genius now, you know, they got their license a long ways away. Same with real estate agents. Yep. I noticed there's a wide range of agents out there now. Like, for instance, I know your father was in construction. We've been in construction. That's all you know. So you kind of have a leg up more than most agents do.
I do. I have seen a lot. Now, I am no contractor, and I never pretend to be.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Disclaimer. I know. She married a contractor.
Okay, I can tell him what to do.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Because we got a lot of friends listening to this show, and they're going to be calling BS.
I doubt that. But anyway.
Joey knows us. He knows it. He said, I can see BS all over his face on that one.
Well, as far as construction and inspections, inspections are imperative. They truly are. And I've used inspectors in the past that have missed really, really big deals. I had an inspector one time that missed the brick falling off the home. You have to call them back. You have to make sure that you're looking at these things too and not relying 100% on the other person. But, you know, we're not contractors. We are real estate agents. And that, so that's not actually what we do. But I keep an eye out for, you know, different things that I see. If I've seen it in the past, you know, I try to keep my eyes open for that. If it's something that could be a problem for my buyer, I always try to point it out and at least tell them to check it out. You know, if I'm right, that's great. If I'm not, that's great too, you know.
I got one last question because it was sent to me, and you and I have heard this a lot of times. I don't really do any of your inspections unless it's for a friend that we both know and they want me to do the inspection. But explain to the folks what the disadvantages are of having somebody that you work with all the time to be your inspector instead of letting them pick their own inspector. And explain to them why I really don't do your inspections.
Well, for one, in our opinion, it's conflict of interest. So if I'm selling your house or selling you a house, then, you know, I mean, we're related. So, you know, do you want to use that person? Some people do because they know the great work that Troy does. And they know that he's a great inspector and he's never going to give him any fluff on anything. Actually, he may be a little bit more detailed in the fact that, you know, because you're working with me too as well.
So I just don't want to get hollered at later, folks. That's right. That's what that's all about.
And he could. So in order to avoid that, that's what we do. But no, I always try to give people at least two or three other inspectors to call and tell them, you know, feel free, go out on the internet and search for inspectors out there. Just, you know, I do tell them a few things to look for. You know, make sure this person actually knows what they're doing. They should have information about them out on the internet enough that you can make a well-qualified decision on who to use.
Well, that's awesome. You give us a lot of great information today, Ramona, and we really appreciate you coming on to the show. You're going to have to come back a little faster than 2 years because it's been, 2 years since the last time you've been on our show.
Sure don't seem like it.
Yeah, I know. But thank you for coming on. Share with the folks the name of your company again and your phone number, and if you would just kind of slow down on the phone number that way they can have a chance to write it out.
Okay. Well, the name of my company is J&H Properties and my phone number is 314-602-4835. And you're welcome to give me a call anytime. I love talking to people. I love helping people. That's what I do. So call me anytime. Love to help.
That's awesome. Well, and folks, this is Troy Galloway. I'm the owner of Galloway Building Services Inspection Company, and we would love to have an opportunity to help you in the future. And our office number is 636-394-3112. And sometimes Ramona's in, sometimes she's not. But if she is, hey, bounce off real estate questions off of her. You're never going to get it cheaper than if you're getting it at that time. But anyway, thank you, folks, for joining our show today. I really appreciate y'all's time. It means a lot to us. And God bless you all, and we will see you on the flip side.
Sponsored by Troy Galloway and Galloway Building Services, your top choice for professional home inspections in the St. Louis area. GallowayBuildingServices.com.